Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
Good day and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. My name is Tahir Bulbulia and I am your host for this program. On Tuesday, February 4th, 2025, the Barbados Chamber of Commerce hosted its third annual Green and Renewable Energy Expo at the Lloyd Erskine Sandyford Centre. It brought together industry leaders, policymakers, innovators, and stakeholders to discuss, strategize, and propel the island's renewable energy ambitions forward. On today's episode of Let's Talk Business, we will focus on renewable energy in Barbados, opportunities, challenges, and the way forward for businesses with insights from our very special and esteemed guests. Joining me today is Ms. Misha Clark, Director of the Barbados Renewable Energy Association, also known as BREA, Richard Singh, Technical Manager at Solar Dynamics, Rishi Panjwani, Agropreneur at InnoGrow Inc. Misha, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have each and every one of you today. Misha, how are you doing? Give us a bit of an introduction and insight into what you do at BREA.
Good morning, Tahir, and good morning to my fellow panelists. I am very pleased to be here. As Tahir would have mentioned, my name is Misha Clark, and I currently serve as the Vice President for the Barbados Renewable Energy Association, also known as BREA, for this current year, 2004 into 2025. And I also serve in terms of representing on the board for HDF Caribbean, which is a hydrogen-based subsidiary company which recently set up its offices here in Bridgetown, Barbados, and I currently serve as their ESG expert. So special thanks to the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry for having the Barbados Renewable Energy Association being part of this morning's discussion. Look forward to chatting with the panelists.
Misha, that's lovely, and I really love to hear about all the work you are doing and all the boards you sit on. So that is excellent. Do keep up the excellent work indeed. And we have Mr. Richard Singh, who is the technical manager at Solar Dynamics. Richard, just give an introduction to the public of yourself.
Good morning, Tahir. Good morning to my fellow panelists and listeners. As Tahir said, my name is Richard Singh. I am the technical manager here at Solar Dynamics. I am glad to be here on this program. I'm sure there's a lot to talk about. I'm excited about the renewable energy industry here in Barbados. I've been involved in this industry from the very, very inception. So I'm happy to be on and to share some knowledge and experience here. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. And we are certainly looking forward to hearing from you. As everyone knows, Solar Dynamics is one of the leaders in the world for renewable energy. So happy to have you with us. And last but by no means least, the youngest on the panel, Mr. Rishi Panjwani. Rishi, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, Tahir, and to my fellow panelists. I am well, thank you. Thanks for having me. And a brief introduction. I am, as Tahir mentioned, a young agripreneur, which is based in the agricultural industry. And what we're doing at InnoGrow is trying to basically produce more food locally, sustainably, using hydroponics and modern-day growing techniques, which will significantly help our food import bill and by all means help Barbadians with a more local, fresher, cleaner, nutritional diet.
Thank you, Rishi. And we really do look at your innovations and creative ways of doing agriculture, and especially in this time around the conversations around food security, do keep up the excellent work as well. So we're going to jump straight into the conversation now. We're going to go to Misha first. Misha, you know, Barbados has this vision of a big ambition for renewable energy, following the Sustainable Development Goals. Before we jump into where the industry is at, why is it so important for the world at this point in time, talking to someone who may not know the importance of renewable energy and the ambitious goals the Barbados government has set, why is this push so critical?
Thanks, Tahir, and I'm glad that you started there. This push is really critical for one word and one reason that we at the Barbados Renewable Energy Association have been talking about since our inception in 2010. That is energy independence and energy security. If anyone is aware of what is going on around the world currently, and we can remember what happened in 2015 when we saw the spikes in terms of the oil prices going up and the volatility of oil and the volatility of fossil fuels, and what that then translated in terms of the upwardness and the increase in terms of our light bills. We therefore then know that energy independence and energy security is something that is very inherent within this 100% renewable energy vision. It is actually the Barbados Renewable Energy Association, through the work of the then professor, well, he's still very much alive, but was a member of the Barbados Renewable Association, Olaf Homeyer, who were the first put forward the 100% renewable energy, 100% energy efficiency strategy for Barbados as an articulated position from the Barbados Renewable Energy Association. And that strategy was premised on a number of things. It was premised on the need of a future to secure energy independence and energy security for Barbados, finally being able to utilize our natural resources in the form of solar and wind. We have been able to successfully do so through the solar thermal, but this is the first time that we were now translating and capturing that energy and translating it into electricity. It was also premised upon the need to facilitate for the first time the democratization of energy, the movement away of energy from the production from a sole utility, to be able to facilitate that through independent power producers once we had the amendment to the Electric Light and Power Act. It also meant the full participation of every Barbadian in the energy sector, either through the use of solar PV systems on their homes, either through some who had investments and were capable to becoming IPPs or investing in companies, who some persons may not have had capital, but they had land and was able to lease this land in terms of persons to be able to then develop and create these solar farms that we see about. And it was also opportunity in terms of expanding our skill sets, creating new job areas, a whole new creation of an economic premise and tied to the renewable energy sector. So back in 2005, when we had the National Strategic Plan of Barbados, it took us all the way up. This was developed under the former Prime Minister, the then late Honorable Owen Arthur, which spoke about a green economy. We had for the first time the realization of that premise upon 100% renewable energy, 100% energy efficiency, and what that meant. So critical towards achieving that goal is very much the whole slogan behind energy independence and energy security.
Painting that picture, it is certainly took us down history lane. Just to give persons that context of where we have come from to where we are going. Richard, as an experienced person in this space, how has this transition been for Solar Dynamics? As we said, Solar Dynamics has been involved for many, many years. And what's your thoughts on the industry now?
Okay. Solar Dynamics has been in the renewable energy for 50 years now. And most people have known us as doing thermosiphon hot water systems. Solar Dynamics have followed through with the 100% renewable by 2030 by becoming very innovative in some of the new offerings and products that we have now on the market. For example, we have transitioned from just simple thermosiphon solar hot water system to now a hybrid hot water system in the commercial space. Our hybrid system is much more efficient, much more cost effective to hotels, and those applications can be for hotels, for hospitals, for large applications. We have also entered into the solar PV arena. I came here at Solar Dynamics. I brought with me over 15 years experience in designing and installing of solar PV, both grid and off-grid systems. So we here at Solar Dynamics now are we have installed quite a few off-grid systems in the marketplace. We've also moved in, gotten a little greener. We introduced what is called air water generators. And so that is a system that now takes water from the air, takes the molecule from the air, converts it into water through a process of purification, and able to deliver pure water as close as to nature as possible. We have also introduced to the marketplace what is called solar cell cladding. So we have taken solar cells, as we know, on rooftops and on ground mount, and so now they are very decorative. So instead of plain tiles on the outer side of buildings, we have now introduced solar cells. So energy can be generated from the decorative tiles on the outside of building to help to augment the energy from the building. So we have gone in a number of directions, four or five different products we now offer in the marketplace. And of course, leaders in hot water system, we also aim to be leaders in all of these various branches that we have gone into. So yes, we are well into the 100% renewable for Barbados. Not only for Barbados, we operate in 21 different Caribbean countries. So we represent some brands in all those countries. So yes, we are going big and in renewable energy.
Richard, and I'm glad you've shared the transition and the transformation Solar Dynamics has been through. Richard, I'll jump to you now. As a young agripreneur, why is it so important to inculcate these sustainable practices in agriculture and as well into your innovations?
Well, Tahir, you know, I mean, we all know what is going on in the world now, as Misha mentioned earlier. And not only does it reflect and relate to oil prices and energy prices, but also food. Food is a big role in all of our lives, and I think it's also very important. So tying this back into what we're trying to do at InnoGrow is basically have a more food sustainable, secure approach to our production locally. Whereas using these techniques such as hydroponics and climate controlled agriculture allows us to grow crops that we aren't necessarily familiar with growing year round in Barbados and that we're heavily dependent on importation for. So things such as cucumbers, European cucumbers, even strawberries is something that we're looking at for the very near future. Cherry tomatoes, things that fluctuate a lot throughout the year in pricing. And the reason for that fluctuation is obviously due to global supply, demand, shipping, energy. There's more than one factor. But what we're trying to do is basically have a food secure network within the Caribbean region where we can depend on each other and grow food that we can supply each other with and not have to be so heavily dependent on our imports.
I'm really enjoying that element of it, especially we have to bring down our food import bill. So Misha, I'm going to jump back to you now. What are the key benefits for businesses that adopt renewable energy solutions today?
I think some of the key benefits is definitely for some businesses, they're seeing cost savings in terms of the introduction of them, specifically those businesses that were able to benefit from the integration of systems and that might had that are very much in the manufacturing space or industrial space. We would have known businesses such as Tritmalk and Roberts Manufacturing would have been able to integrate and use these integration of these systems to help stabilize their energy costs. The stabilization of those energy costs into the production, into those productive sectors, obviously translates into potentials in terms of cost savings. Some businesses have taken on in terms of not necessarily integrating them within their manufacturing processes, but persons who had access to capital was able to sell, was able to generate a lot of that electricity and and sell it back to the grid. We have our very own members in terms of Williams Solar and Williams Industry, which would have been able to create a whole niche and a whole development of a whole new department in terms of business, utilizing their rooftop space, creating the generation of green bonds, which is new investments into the sector. Those are some beautiful opportunities that we saw. We also saw opportunities in terms of the rise of the entrepreneurship, where we had persons that were transitioning away from heavy engineering and engineering, electrical engineering, and were now able to transfer their skills into this new area. So we had the development and growth of a lot of businesses. And as a result of that, in terms of hiring persons, in terms of solar PV installations, that therefore then not only translated from an entrepreneur side, it also had big translation and big impact in terms of education. We saw the rise in terms of technical and vocational skill sets, and we know the need. We always sing in Barbados, we need more skills. Where are skilled persons? These are the persons who usually drive economies. And we had the emergence of the installation of the solar PV installers being run by the TVET Council, the SJPPs and the BCCs. And we also saw that also translated into some of the higher level skill set areas in terms of the development of a master's in renewable energy. We saw the emergence of now lawyers in the renewable energy space. So creating those additional economic opportunities. So the opportunities have been wide and thus far, and we've seen the creation all not only in terms of the impact of businesses and how businesses have been able to integrate the technology, but we also saw the growth of a new entrepreneurship sector at different levels and what that also translated in terms of benefits in terms of the educational sector as well.
I'm glad you spoke on the education sector, because that is critical if we're gonna get young people involved in renewable energy, in climate change, in the fight against climate and in agriculture on a whole. So that's why I'm going to jump to Rishi at this point in time. Rishi, do you think enough is done in schools to equip young people with the skills to be involved in agriculture where it is in a 2025 world?
That's a great question, Tahir. I really think, if I'm being honest and as transparent as I could be, I think we need to do more. Because agriculture from a long time ago has had a stigma attached to it, if you like, with the quote unquote hard work and, you know, labor intensive. But using these modern day growing techniques and using hydroponics and using climate controlled agriculture, what we're trying to do is actually show the public and the youth that you know, agriculture has changed, and there's been a boom of a lot of industries since technology has taken over, and agriculture is also one of those industries that technology has tied into and made it more efficient, made it more economical, and made it more scalable quite easy. So I think we can make a bigger effort to actually integrate these new growing techniques and using hydroponics, using aquaponics, using aeroponics into schools and into maybe a module that can be in schools, and we can have a smaller scale system that you use that's put into the school that you can have as a live growing wall, and the students can basically tend to it, feed the crops, make sure the pH and the EC in the water is correct. So we can create a module in school, same way how we have math, English, and comprehension. We can have agriculture or sustainable agriculture as one of the modules, and this can basically help to teach and acknowledge basically where agriculture is going, so that it can be more instilled into our youth and our upcoming generations going forward.
Certainly agree with you 110%, Rishi. I think it's needed in school, and we need to make it fun. I really like the idea of making it very practical, where the young people can actually grow something in school, carry it home, put it, let the parents cook it. They cook it themselves, or perhaps they have a whole project, a holistic project within the school, where everything is done in the day at school, where you grow, you give it to your home economic class, they cook something, and then you sell it perhaps. And that's the circular economy that I'm sure Misha touched on, and you are as well. Richard, from where you sit as an experienced campaigner, do you think this is something that can easily be achieved, getting the subject into school on renewable energy, on the climate fight, on these creative innovations that Solar Dynamics, Rishi and his work is doing, and Bria is pushing at the national and regional level?
Of course, Tahir, of course. We are a little behind in terms of implementing that, but not too late. And I am sure once we can put together all of the logistics, we can introduce this to schools as in the primary schools, in the secondary schools, because the next generation needs to be educated, needs to understand the whole principle of a green economy, renewable energy, sustainability, so that we can build out that the children coming out of school will come out better educated with a better understanding and appreciation for what government wants to achieve and for what we want, all of us want to achieve for the environment, for not only for the environment, but for our economic sustainability. When we look at what's happening beyond our shores, really, it's frightening. And so, yes, I fully subscribe, fully agree to the introduction of some form of education, some form of curriculum in our schools to bring our children up to speed to where we want to go and what we want them to understand, and get them more involved, get them more connected to renewable energy. I deal in particular with a lot of young people. At one point, some that were trained at the Polytechnic in renewable energy were assigned to my company before I came here to Solar Dynamics, were assigned to me as interns. And some of the young guys, you know, they were only thinking the financial benefit, and they had no idea of what we want to achieve in terms of a green economy and so on. So, yes, let's go for it.
Thank you for that. And I can understand from where a lot of those young people sit about the returns on the investment, the monetary gains, the financial gains. And that's where I'm going to, Misha, bring you back into the conversation now. The sector has had its fair share of challenges and barriers. Let's give the public an insight into what some of the challenges, not just Barbados, but small island developing states who have major ambitions to achieve these ambitious targets, ambitious goals have. What are some of these barriers and challenges that are faced, especially in the renewable energy sector?
Yes, as much as we're going towards that dream, and we've had a dream, and there's been some really great highs that I've talked about where we saw the growth in 2015, 2018, and how just the sector has transformed. We've also very much experienced some lows, and unfortunately right now we are in a low period, just to be quite honest. But to speak more to your question, and then to also tie it back into that low, some of the challenges which we face in terms of moving towards a 100% renewable energy economy and a green economy is really some of the capacity constraints. This is one of the biggest national development projects that the government of Barbados has taken on, and it would require a number of skilled human skill sets across a number of areas. I would have mentioned in legal and regulatory support, in the area of not only in the installation as well, but in terms of the policy development aspect, and then in terms of the business implementation. So we definitely face quite a bit of challenges in terms of our capacity constraints, mainly across our leading institutions who are responsible in terms of leading the transition, specifically the Fair Trading Commission, we're seeing a level of, for us, in terms of regulatory lag, where we have policy initiatives and policy objectives, such as the 100% renewable energy target. We know that it's tied to a target where we want to increase local participation, not only local participation at the level of our installers and our entrepreneurs, but also local participation and capital investment from our indigenous banks, our credit unions, and our non-bank financial institutions. But there's a lack of regulatory lag to support this, to support the facilitation of how we transition moving forward. There's a lack of challenge also in the business processing facilitation, where we might be going towards specific targets. Most recently, in terms of, we know we had the launch of the battery energy storage procurement process, but we're currently facing a lag in terms of the issuance and the actual publication of that. Again, all as a result of the human capacity constraints within the organizations who are responsible for leading this charge. A lot of what we are doing is new. It is groundbreaking. So persons have been having to learn on the fly, in the early day or very early up in the sector. We would have been able to benefit from development financing, such as from the Inter-American Development Bank and the EU delegation. But we see where funding is going now, and where funding opportunities and envelopes are now being reduced. What that means in terms of being able to execute some of the initiatives that are needed within our public sector institutions to support the effective translation and the effective transformation of the sector in the time in which we are currently operating. So the biggest threat right now are our capacity constraints, the threats in terms of our regulatory lag and business processing lag, and our ability to be able to respond efficiently and timely at the pace and the time in which the sector needs, which is very critical to still ensure that there are businesses that are going to be profitable and able to function at the end of the day.
Richard, from a private sector perspective and any advice you can offer to the Chamber of Commerce as well, what can the private sector do or the Chamber to advocate to have some of these challenges relieved?
What can the private sector do to have some of these challenges addressed? In the main, sometimes we've been sitting and waiting for some things to happen. For example, I remember sitting at the very first meeting in December 6, 2023. We were introduced to the fact that there will be no more grid connection. One, and two, government was putting a procurement procedure in place so as to mitigate against persons who have invested large sums of money in renewable energy, in solar PV in particular, and couldn't get connected to the grid. We were told that it will take about 6 months, and while the last meeting that we had last Tuesday for that matter, where the minister announced that we are closer to closing up on those initiatives. So I don't think that the private sector can do a whole lot more but wait on government, wait on the regulators, wait on FCC to tell us what the new rates for BESS will be. And so I think it's just a wait and see right now. In the meantime, private sector can take their own initiative and go solo, go independent in terms of their off-grid solutions. Many have chosen to do so, rather than sit and wait. They have gone ahead and implemented and installed their own off-grid systems so that they can benefit from lower energy cost. But yes, the private sector can make its own move, take its own initiative, look at its own bottom line, and understand where its energy usage are and how to mitigate against that, in whilst we are waiting on government to come through.
Totally. I understand the perspective of the private sector and how critical government and government legislation and government push is a part of this puzzle.
That was part one of the topic, Renewable Energy in Barbados, Opportunities and Challenges for Businesses. Host is Tahir Bulbulia. Panelists are Misha Clark, Director of the Barbados Renewable Energy Association, BREA, Richard Singh, Technical Manager of Solar Dynamics Limited, and Rishi Panjwani, Agripreneur of InnoGrow Inc. That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.